Hello and welcome to our 96th episode of the Gutenberg Changelog podcast. Today we will talk about Gutenberg plugins version 17.6, 17.7, WordPress 6.5, and some more. And it's exciting times in the WordPress space. I'm your host, Birgit Pauli Haag, curator at the Gutenberg Times and a full-time core contributor for the WordPress open source project sponsored by Automattic for the Future program. So happy to have Pam Lister again with me here on the show. And thank you for taking the time again. And so tell me, how are you today? And what are you working on these days?
Hi, I'm really pleased to be here. So I've been working on some really fun projects. I've been working on classic themes. I've been also working on some custom projects with new products and sites. And I've been also working on supporting products through a project called Gildenberg. Yeah, I've been just working on some really fun stuff lately and enjoying and embracing that.
Wonderful. Yes. So what's Gildenberg?
Gildenberg is a guild of products. So it's an app store and it's also supporting members who are just dealing with partnerships and also a collective together of people who are creating products and looking at different ways that we can support each other and support through. There's going to be more on that as it goes. Initially, it's an app store. It started with a Black Friday deal and it's kind of going on from there. So, yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. Oh, speaking of product, you also were recently on the podcast WP Product Talk and talked with Zach Katz and Amber Hines about designing for the future of WordPress. And which started with the question, what is the future of WordPress? But it was a really good insight into how the feedback loop needs to be closed between product builders and those who build the software on top on which they build the products. And I think that's it's a very good shout out to say, okay, just don't take it all like the weather. It's never going to change. You have to adapt. It's also something that I think the Gutenberg developers are open to a lot of feedback when it comes to extensibility.
Yeah.
It might not be the right time when it comes, but it will be definitely open. And thank you for making that shout out there as well. There was a lot of other good stuff in that talk. So,
yeah, it was really good to talk. And also, I think sometimes people on both sides, you need to hear it. I know when I was creating with Gutenberg, I really just needed to hear, and sometimes I didn't. Like, you don't know what you don't know. It's like, but also, it's as I kind of said in the podcast, it's really easy to think, oh, well, if I log it, it's never going to do it. I did it the other day. I logged something about shortcodes. Will it get in? Probably not. But it might, it's probably going to start a conversation about that, because really, it's actually really important for Classic to support in some way, something around that, because it's a problem from classic themes. So it's more saying, hey, this thing is going to prevent whatever, or this thing is blocking me. Is it blocking anyone else? It's more of those kind of conversations to have. And I really think it's about moving forward. It was really interesting when you start talking to people how complicated their stacks are, and how, you know, you can think of, like, in simple terms, the middle when you're creating the product, but their stacks are complicated. And in that podcast, it was really curious to say, when they're creating, they are creating in the WordPress ecosystem, but they're creating in ecosystems in the ecosystem. That's the best way to put it. Like, these different, like, frameworks and product spaces as well. Yeah, it kind of opens your mind to a little bit of beyond just core and what core is used for.
We just started the second iteration of the FSE Outreach program that Anne started 3.5 years ago and was actually focused just on the site editor for 3.5 years. But now we broaden that up because phase three is coming. We need to have adoption of phase two. And so if you, dear listeners, are interested in what future features will look like, to have a discussion on a higher level, not just on a bug report or something like that, come to the outreach channel on the WordPress Slack. Now it's kind of shortened. It's not FSE Outreach Experiments. No, it's just the outreach part. And there are a lot of good people in there. And we definitely value any thoughts on future products or features from there. So we started out talking about you, Tammy, and now it's again about the community. But I also want our listeners to know about your new site that you have been feeding tips and tricks about the editor on a constant basis for the last 4 weeks. And there are probably about 25 or 30 tips already there. So how did you come about that? Why?
Because, really, it was people. I was sharing the same information the same time. So a good example is people just didn't know how to do list view, or people didn't know how to do things that we presumed that everybody knows how to do in the site editor or the block editor. And you can really change someone's life when you show them how to use the list view, or you show them how to do something, it suddenly like changes their workflow. And you can presume that someone knows that, or you can presume that someone finds it in a handbook, and you can presume that there's no need for it. So I was, what could I do to help it? And I just kind of thought, hey, maybe there could be like a Twitter site. It was kind of my original thing. I think it's going to end up with literally a search form. It's going to be the best format for it at the moment. It's a post that goes out, and then the search form's down the bottom. I think the final the final form, if you're talking Pokemon, of this site is probably a search box and some tags, because I'm kind of enjoying like queuing up each weekend and then just having them post. That feels good. It's really interesting. I want to mix up some of the up and coming stuff as well, because I think that's useful, because it gets a bit confusing whether someone's using the plugin or not. A good example is the post page, and the post lists could be different for you, might be different. So tagging some things of up and coming as well. But yeah, it was really just, and I'm not training, but I've been going through a lot of like helping people with dev and sharing my knowledge, because that's like a beautiful thing to do. And in it, just saying like, hey, have like, this is my workflows. People going, how did you do that? And it's like, okay, people don't actually know how to do this. And we have a lot of presumptions, particularly because the editors are a little bit more established, or we feel they're more established. And spoiler, they're not for many people.
No, it's a good service, and I really like those little tips and tricks that you published there. Thank you for going through that.
And I would love to know more. So if anyone's got any, I want to find a way that I get people's tips. I'm trying to like work out how that happens, because there's got to be ones that I'm missing as well, or
And
that I don't know.
I remember at the beginning when the block editor came out, I there was also kind of, what's the slash command? Oh, you don't have to use the
And so many
mouse.
people, when they unlock that, because I remember when it was created, and it's like, oh, this really like levels up your workflow. And it does to this day. List
Absolutely.
view is the same. There's so many things that unlock powerful commands. Copying, discovering the preferences settings for the first time. You're like, oh, where was that all my life?
No, and I didn't realize that we actually had in the preferences a switch on custom fields or not, the meta boxes on the bottom.
I
I
make you
just did
turn
a
on and off blocks as well, but people really don't
Oh,
discover that
right.
for a while.
Even the blocks that came in with your block collections. It's a long list. So speaking about community contributions, there's a proposal on GitHub on discussing through going forward, do we need additional blocks that are maintained by the Gutenberg developers? Should there be an in the editor itself, or should they just be discoverable through the single block plugin, and but they're maintained by WordPress contributors? So they are so what comes to mind is like the time to share block, or an accordion block, or a card block, or a tabs. Are these all things that everybody needs to have, or should they be just be in a separate plugin and then be installed when they are needed? And it's an interesting discussion. Of course, we sh share the links in the show note. What do you think about that?
It's interesting you say cards, because for me, I think the biggest thing this raises is, what is a pattern and what is a block? And it's the big question I find a lot of people when they're first exploring it. There's not necessarily a right or wrong answer. Well, I come to generally is dynamic is where I come down to, but then again, that's not always a straight answer. But I think a lot of the times when people are making a block, it's a pattern. So really thinking about, should these be blocks? Should these be patterns? Is something to think about. So when we're talking about the cards, maybe if it has options, maybe if it has different settings, yes, it's a block. But if it's just like a pattern of cards, to me, that's a card. If it's got a loop and it has content, then yes. So yeah, So I love the idea of more. So accordion is such a good example because I think pretty much every agency has had to make their own accordion block, or everyone has had to. So yes, please, let's support one. Again, I think Slider, whether we want to or not, but as accessible as we can. I'm using those words because accessibility in Slider is not necessarily great, but there's an opportunity here that we can set some best practices for some awkward blocks and some awkward experiences that if we don't set some best practices, they can be quite woolly and wild. So I think that's also something that's maybe not getting set here. Setting some of those in would be really nice. You learn from core blocks how to make them. So being able to learn, having an accordion block you can extend would be really, really powerful. I again wonder whether some of these are extending the query block would be some of them, or whether they're formats. So yeah, I love them, but also I think like we have to be think of like what do we have already, what can be used, and do they apply to that more? So yes, but it would be my consideration because hundreds of blocks is really difficult to find what you really want. So as long as we like have them documented and have the useful ones, then yeah, but accordion block is such a good example that you said.
Yeah, I mean, there's some concerns about maintainability. If it's in the
Yeah.
Gutenberg repo, it might get more attention by maintainers, but
Yeah.
I'm not quite sure whether that's so valid because some of the core blocks haven't had an attention for
No.
3 years, yeah, so and still
Yeah.
are valid
I think
blocks.
the
So.
presumption of maintainability is not. I think some of these will get maintained just because they're going to be popular and just because they're going to be used. So accordion, okay, is like, we like it or not. Tabs is another one, which is also a companion to an accordion one, right? Tab block, whether we like want it or not, like products, it's going to be like a really common pattern that people have, tabbed content. So really having those areas, hidden area blocks, which is one of those ones, is just going to be something that probably, again, I think making sure that they're documented, making sure that they have clear paths of contribution. There may even just be people that just contribute to them, which could be a way that agencies contribute. And I kind of am curious if this is like an onboard way that just some agencies just see contribution, and that could be really awesome that
Oh,
they
yeah.
just do contribution through these blocks. Yeah, they've got to be some of these blocks already existing out there that could be pivoted in rather than like reinventing the wheel because everybody has these blocks already as well. So I think we're going to move on to Anne. Anne, in her post, she wrote a post called Overlapping Problems. This addresses a complexity that arises when multiple issues coexist. It's really good and it kind of builds on from this Twitter thread by Brian. And there's also going to be a Hoi Hangout called, and it's called Let's Chat About the Overlapping Problems in the Site Editor on the 27th of February at 1700 UTC. All of it kind of is the effects of those, I'm calling them paper cut problems, those little problems that stack up and those need for adaptive problem solving. Anne gives some great examples. There is a giant Twitter X, whatever you want to call it. I'm really curious what you think about this. My own personal feelings are that I think we've just got to do a lot of listening and move into that space. And just, I'm really excited to hear the whole way hang out. But what do you think?
Yeah, I think there are some interesting problems to solve that are kind of, once you use it, they might come a little bit more obvious, and then they run into it when, especially when you work with agencies, it's hard to decide if you change something for the entire site or just for the block. Yeah, so do
Yeah.
we put it in theme JSON or do we let the user handle whatever color it is? That's one thing. Then,
Yeah.
but it does not really. I have sometimes the decision-making paralysis, so where do I tackle that? Yeah, and also, I don't like it. Where did I set this so I can fix it later on? Yeah, it's kind of a lot of places where I can get lost, and I think that's one of the things that a lot of users have. Also, what hasn't been yet solved for an enlightened experience is the navigation. Yeah, there's a lot of experimentation going on. There's a lot of, oh, there was in the last 2 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think we're getting there, and it has been great work being done. But it's also something to think about, lean back and say, okay, we have a new user, how do they perceive it? Yeah. And all that. I think also the one of the biggest problems that I see is, and I had this discussion again 2 or 3 weeks ago, was the difference between template editing and page editing. Yeah. What's the, and people getting lost and creating their own site with new templates instead of new pages, which just then brings some other problems with it. Yeah. So I think listening is definitely something that is a good skill set here when we talk with agencies. Also to really hear the underlying problem. Yeah. One I had just on the on a call with on a hallway hangout on intrinsic design was that although there are no viewports or simple breakpoints tools there, but there is hard code, there are hard coded viewports in Gutenberg that you can change as an agency developer. You need to kind of walk around that quite extensively. Yeah. And that is certainly something I wasn't really aware of. But knowing that that's happening, hard coded things are not really good for flexibility. Yeah. Kind of. What's the next step forward? Yeah, to kind of get this out. So yeah, there are certainly, and yeah, I set out to collect some of the things and find the strategic places to tackle them. I mean, we also worked on the extensibility triage issues, triaging kind of thing. So there is a lot of activities and initiatives going on, and I love those. They are now happening. When it really the vision has been materialized of the site editor and the block editor, many people come around and say, wow, I didn't know how that kind of shaked out. Yeah, but now tackling those overlapping problems is definitely something to set out for 6.6. Yeah.
Think people are also learning that they don't have to, or what they can turn on. And I think that that's the message, it's on or off, is you don't have to do that, and learning where you can turn on, but it's still really tricky with that and those controls. And you just made a really good point about you have to know so well the experience, the variables and the components to be able to make some of those, I call them stress cases, not edge cases, because it causes you stress decisions that there's only, there's a certain level you're going to make because you've had to use it already. So there's almost like it's really difficult to get the space to do that whilst you're trying to also keep up with clients and you're trying to do stuff. So it really is about just, the experiments we're seeing, the explorations we're seeing, and just having these conversations on both sides with listening and open, and just, hey, I, on the, the implementation side, which is agency freelancers, people building from products, from everything, all perspectives are really, really key here. Is, hey, I'm trying to do this thing. I can't do this thing. I can't do it because of, and sharing that quite simply is incredibly powerful. It's just been able to have those real cases of how does that person do that? And okay, 10, 20 other people want to do that. As you're saying, with extensibility. So yeah, it's one of those just collecting how many are trying to do it. And it's not by numbers, because it might just be like it's one really, really critical thing that we can fix, right? But it's important.
Yeah, so just want to reiterate the hallway hangout. It's an informal discussion among contributors, is taking place February 27th at 1700 UTC. Yeah, they're gonna share the Zoom link in the core editor channel, just so you know where to go. We of course also share the invitation and Anne's blog post in the show notes. Next up is what's released, and that we are in a hot release cycle for WordPress 6.5. Beta 1 was released last week. Beta 2 was released this week, and it's really, really time, dear listeners, to test your plugins, themes, sites to see if they're compatible or if there are any issues before they happen, and do bug reports. Whatever can be fixed in the release cycle, does not get rolled out to millions of people. So there's a big, big call for testing, and the test team has a list of things, how to do this and what to test. And but I also have some numbers. So the highest average number of enhancement per Gutenberg release, 68, and the second highest average total PRs per Gutenberg release is 198. So similar to 6.4 with 67 and 192, but however, 6.4 only included 6 Gutenberg versions, while 6.5 now includes 10 Gutenberg versions. So it's really, even those that are end of year releases were really big. So it's really interesting. Huge numbers. The amount of total PRs in the cycle was 1,892. Yeah, that's just some numbers. Some people like numbers, and they were on the Gutenberg side for the edit for WordPress 6.5. There were 25 new contributors submitted PRs to the cycle, so that's also really cool. Well, there is a source of truth coming out. The field guide is coming out with release candidate one that is scheduled for March 4th. So it's beta 3 is next week, and then in 2 weeks is release candidate. That's where also the dev notes come out. And we're gonna talk about Gutenberg 17.6 now and 17.7, because those were the big push to get all the great features in, especially those that are for developers to extend things. So yeah, first up, 17.6.
So the first one we have in the features is the interactivity API. I think it's, I'm going to kind of like list a couple of things, but then I'm going to get onto the examples because those are two very big words that I always feel with the interactivity API. It's good to have examples because it feels quite abstract, if that makes sense. So there's been adding things and just a maturing of it. That's the best way that you can see it. So it exists and it's there is the best way to put it. But there's also been, so Mario, Ryan, and Josefa discussed it on the 73rd episode. Wow, 73rd of the WP Briefing podcast. Ooh. So, and there will be a link in show links. But also, really exciting is Nick has just done a working example that he's going to document of mega menus. Very excited about that using the interactivity API. And why I'm excited about that is it's opening up possibilities of things to be able to do. And the whole point that we've kind of been having this discussion as a theme of people needing open and tools and things. And this is just that to me. I'd love your input, but it just shows examples of things that you'd be like, oh, well, I can't do that. So therefore, I can't use the site editor, or therefore, I can't use these aspects of the new things, but now we are starting to be able to see working examples of where maybe you can't use it in production, but you could start to be able to use it.
Yeah, and what this example from Nick Diego is doing is using two features that are coming with WordPress 6.5. One is to actually add your custom block to a navigation block, and the second one is the interactivity API becoming a public API for developers to use. Yeah, so we will have in the show notes a small blog post and also the link to the GitHub repo where you can look at the code of the custom block that enables a mega menu. But he has, I think what I also read was that a lot of people are waiting for the mega menu, but it's such an individual site related need that I think it's gonna be really hard to make it a 80%, 20% kind of thing, because to have it in core. But I think one of the purposes of the interactivity API coming into core is to open it up for developers to bring their site needs to WordPress and solve them with their own code. But what the interactivity API also brings, and that's was very clear in the briefing, is also that now interactivity, every developer solved it themselves. Yeah, in an agency or for a block plugin,
Yeah.
but there is no standard. And the
Yeah.
Interactivity API brings the standard. So now something that was done by an agency that works together with a plugin, they can
Yeah.
actually, the blocks can talk to each other. Yeah,
Yeah.
so in that area. And that I think is really opening up the whole ecosystem quite a bit.
I'm really excited. It's interesting you mentioned, I don't think there's one way to sell for the mega menus either. I know templates have been talked about. Yes. We've also even got the tiny blocks. We've got all these options, but it again, it comes down to having this functionality in these tools, which is super exciting.
Totally, totally. And so I bring us a little bit down because the next thing that I wanted to, it's not a big thing, it's a small thing, but we add default font sizes option to the theme JSON file. So themes can now create default font sizes and make them available to their users for that and add them to their spectrum there. Yeah.
And that brings in the font library as well, because the font library is coming in. So that kind of ties in. And I will say the font defaults that you now have in theme.json available, any defaults make it so much easier to create from. There's a number of times you had to set defaults. And not that you will use the defaults all the time, but having things like default font sizes, having things like default spacings and spacing settings to give you shadows, give you a good, oh, maybe that you could use, and also allow you to have like some sketch places. So moving on from that, we have custom fields and block editor. So again, add effects for box shadow tools to block inspector. And then we move on to enhancements, which I'll let you kind of take.
Yeah, and I wanted to say the box shadow tools were available for a while already in the Gutenberg plugin, but they're now coming also to WordPress 6.5. So users can actually apply drop shadows to certain blocks. It's only available to four blocks: the button, the image, and the columns block, just to see if there's other needs that need to be built into it. But I really like it already because the little tool that shows you not only the default block shadows that Core comes with, it also, if a theme decided to add some presets for that, they also show up in this little box where you can select
And it's
those the
really
shadows. Yeah.
fun to make the
Yeah.
shadows, and even you can really do presets and your own presets pretty easily and
Yeah.
in theme.json, because I've been playing with that.
Yeah, Justin Tadlock did a great article on that a while ago, actually, on the developer blog, and we'll surface that in the show notes. So, and I'm actually working on a update on that just for the user interface of that and how that all works together. Yeah. Yeah, in the enhancement, there's a lot of things happening. And with, I don't know, 160 or 170 PRs, we are not gonna read all of them. And yeah, you definitely wanna look through the change log on the what's new posts. But I like that the theme now has a color on wrapper. I wanted to point that out for the theme developers. So there is a foreground color for the theme component, so you can kind of set that. And the Interactivity API has received a ton of PRs, and I think we need to wait for the dev notes to really talk about that. Otherwise, it's going to be a 2-hour podcast today. Is there anything that you are
So on
looking
the
for?
block library, there's some interesting stuff. Footnote support for other custom post types. Pull quote block has padding and margin support, which again, this is part of like when something's put out, you do a best guess. When a core block is put out, a lot of these are best guess. And we also talked earlier about there's so many blocks already, getting back around to them. So the pull quote block probably hasn't had, and I don't think it has had some work for a while, but really adding some padding and margin, that's probably something that is, I know it's going to be something that a lot of people have been putting in their theme.json or have been putting in custom styling quite a while. So now being able to have that is really, really important. An aspect ratio, remove support on the group block for now. So that's obviously something that maybe wasn't working as well. So there are all these kind of things that kind of are put out there and iterated on, which I think is part of this, is looking at each core block as still a work in progress, which I think is really, really important as we maintain them, still really having those as well.
Yeah, the aspect ratio is actually available for the cover block, but for the group block, because all the additional blocks in there, that kind of didn't work out,
Yeah,
kind of
it's
thing.
really messy class.
And just to call that out, that if you have tried working with it, yeah, it's also not working. So they pulled it out
And we use
from that,
group
yeah.
block. So grid is coming. Oh, grid is there in experimental. And I think group block is a stopgap block. That's one of the ways that I see it a lot of the times where we will be using other tools at some point. And because of that, some of the tools that it will have eventually or should have eventually don't work. We're not trying to use it for stopgap. There's many a time I use group where I probably wouldn't in the future. So, yeah.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Unless it's a pattern, then you're probably good with
Oh yeah.
putting it in a group block so
Yeah,
it
but
kind of
who
stays
knows? We may
together.
have like a
Yeah.
pattern wrap. I don't
Pattern
know.
wrapper.
Like, yeah, but
Yeah,
we
like
might
a.
do, right? Because group block is kind of like our default put it in a group block, right? Which that may also be we're deviating, but that also is something that if you have a block with certain functionality, that doesn't necessarily always work for it because it's on its own, it's a really useful block, but it's not necessarily adaptable in those senses. It kind of works, but it kind of doesn't. Cover block had that problem for a very long time. We used to even use, I remember trying to use cover block as a background for my whole entire page because that was the only way that you could get like background images back in the day.
But now you can get it in a group block.
You can. And I was so glad when you could get that. But it literally was the only way you could get full width. So all these changes are coming over time. And that also shows how things have adapted as well.
And what is now in 17.6 as well as in 17.7 are the final touches on the data views, which enable the grid layout for templates and parts, as well as adding the bulk actions to the page views. Bulk actions are edit, or delete, or I think that those are the two. And but the data views, they're coming to WordPress 6.5, but only in the site editor, except for the Well, they're coming inside it also for pages, but not for posts. So that's kind of the only place where you have to get out of the editor and kind of come through that. So it's really interesting, and I like them. There are some interfaces are a little bit overlapping that kind of confuse me, but yeah, I'm easily confused. So I get it. It's like you move into a new neighborhood, and all of a sudden, all the sounds are kind of in your face. And by the time you kind of get settled in 2 weeks, you don't hear the tram anymore. You don't hear
But
the,
it's existing UI patterns, so it's not based on patterns that we have, like they're not uncommon in other applications. So it has its roots in familiarity at least. So
Absolutely, yeah. And I
So moving
was.
on, we have site editor, we have group templates and sidebar list. Anytime that you have the ability to group things, I'm very excited because we have giant lists in our sidebar. So this is kind of awesome, I think.
Exactly. Yeah, there are quite a few other things as well that the global style changes. Yeah, it's added to the save play flow. And then what I overlooked was that there is now a live preview on the theme that has been in there since 6.4 and in the plugin, but there's now you can activate it in the modal. Yeah. So there's an activation place in there. So it streamlines that process. On the patterns, we have a few items that are in terms of the pattern overrides. I don't think we talked about the pattern overrides here at the podcast. So that's a new way to work with sync patterns. It's an added feature that you can create a pattern and then with maybe a heading and a paragraph and an image, and then you can say, okay, you style it, you save it. And then you can go to each one of those content blocks and say allow overrides in the advanced section in the sidebar. And then when somebody or your editor uses that pattern, they can change the picture, they can change the headline or the paragraph, or but when you decide for each instance, and when you decide as a site owner or a theme developer or agency developer to say, okay, I want to change the design of that pattern, then you change the original You can change the original, and there's an interface for that. And then those changes propagate over all those instances where it was used. So if you change the background is changed for all of them. So that's the pattern overrides idea. And there are available to four blocks. And that's the image block, the heading block, a paragraph, and button block. That's where you can decide on pattern overrides as a user for your patterns. So now you can use the site editor to build patterns, pattern overrides, and sync patterns, content locked patterns, kind of. Yeah, they all have the
After
same words, patterns.
that. Yeah, we do it. So I guess the big one to move on to is a font library. And that there's a lot listed here. I'm going to list out some stuff, and then I'd love you to maybe describe a bit about the workflow because you're really good at stuff like that. And I'd love to kind of hear in your own words that. Yeah, there's update is what we have listed here, and refactor because it's ready and it's there. So we have the modal, we have disable as so ability to disable if you want using a PHP filter, which is super important because it's if something exists, having the ability to turn it off. It's also important. Improving the font collection rest controller, making notices more consistent, update the font families. But I'd love you to maybe describe some of the workflow and features and what you think of this.
So the font library, oh yeah, I get the hard part. All right, okay. So the font library is, think of it as similar to the media library. So it has the function that you can upload fonts, and then you can enable the fonts, and you can use the fonts in your further design of the site. But you, as a site owner, are not dependent on the theme developer to make decisions on your font. You can do it yourself. And there are font foundries out there. Well, the biggest one is the Google Fonts, but there is also Adobe Fonts is there. And yeah, you as designer bros probably know more. It's a little bit hard to find how to get to the font management space. And that is in the style sidebar on the right-hand side above the fonts section. There's a little icon that has two dots and a few lines. It's not a cog for work tools, but it still shows some management features there. And then it opens up a modal where you can see which fonts are installed already, and then you get an upload button, and then you can upload your fonts with all the fonts collection, or how do you call it, the different styles of the fonts. So it's a semi bold or bold or these kind of variations.
Variations.
And then you have options to turn them off. Yeah. So if you have a font that has 16 variations, you only use three of them, you can switch off all the other ones. So this is a really good, it's pretty comprehensive as a feature already. So yeah, test it out and find the break it because it has been really in development for what, four
A
major releases?
while.
Yeah, a while, yeah.
You mentioned the positioning. I think if you're using the create block theme, I always get that wrong, plugin, you're kind of trained a certain place to go to theme font management. So yes, it is in a different place. So your furniture has moved, but your furniture is still there. It is a feature that is like the missing feature of styling, right? Like we have color management, we have media management, as you say. So font management is, and you did beautifully with that description. I knew you would.
Thank
So
you.
it is the missing one. Yeah, it is going to be really exciting what people have. And back to your point about good ways to do things and standardization. I think this is also, it's one of those ways that it's easy to add fonts the wrong way when you don't know how to do it the right way. And when you know how to do it the right way, you don't have a problem. Absolutely. So this tool maybe isn't for someone that has that in their workflow, that absolutely has prepackaging fonts or has uses whatever they use in their workflows. This is quite often, probably for people that don't know how to do that and want that flexibility. And it's a great way to be able to have control on your site without having to have yet another bit of custom code from a random site that maybe and trusting and all those kind of things. So, yeah, it is a really easy way to just do things right from the right start and know that you're doing being performant as well.
And I think lots of freedom. Sometimes is not always a good thing, but for many people, they want the freedom to kind of figure out what they actually want. Yeah,
I
sometimes you
mean,
don't
a
know
lot of
what you
people
want
aren't going to
until you
turn this
see.
on because, you know, papyrus. I'm joking.
Yeah, I mean, for many agency, the piece that was that we have highlighted is the most important part is the disabled fund library. You are using a PHP filter that's going to be in your theme functions code
But that's
for some of
also
them. Yeah.
really good that we've got that from the start, because quite often that shows, like, from the start, having these features to turn off. When we first had some features, because it was harder to do, or these features weren't always turn offable so easily. So definitely from the start, making sure, particularly these really styling, opinionated features, they are from the start having these PHP filters. That's recognizing this workflow that you're going to have with PHP, you now can turn it off. So I think that's great, that they couldn't be better having that. So yeah.
No, the fund library is opening up the site editor for theme developers or theme designers who are not developers, yeah, because they get all the
Yes.
tools in one
And I use it
place.
like dream. Sorry, I always go back to the dream remover analogy, because that's what I do. I pretty much a couple of hours a day, I'll be sketching in the site editor on a local site. And that's how I come up with new designs now. I don't think of it as, like, I maybe do some styling, but it is as Dreamweaver. That's what I use it as, my sketchbook, because that's how you come up with the ideas and how you explore things now. So,
Yeah, I know you have a lot of work to do and you have a lot of irons and fires, but I think what would be really cool would be a live stream where you just kind of sketch out a theme and
I'd
design a
love
theme
to.
for a few minutes
Use this Dreamweaver. It is super
using Dreamweaver and the site
fun.
editor of WordPress or something like that. Yeah.
Because also you make decisions there and then, and sometimes I'll be doing it like for a couple of hours, and you make decisions there and then with the blocks. And I mean, you make some really bad, like, code spaghetti. You really do. But then you unpick the code in the in your visual ed like Visual Studio is my editor, because you the export button, the best thing in the world. You just hit
Yeah.
export, and then you have, like, your mess, like your sketchbook, and then you can refine it. That's the best way I can describe my workflow for creating a theme. It's not everybody's, but that's
Yeah.
mine.
But it would be interesting to see from yeah.
Yeah, I will. I should do that.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Yeah. So the next thing is extensibility a part. And we talked about it briefly when we talked about Nick's mega menu that is now an update for the navigation block that can render hooked inner blocks, so you can have your custom block go in there, or other blocks, yeah, to go into the navigation block that opens it up for not only the allowed ones, which was I think the search block was one of them, and page list block was one of them, but now you can just have anyone in there, any block in there. And there was another in 17.7. There was a bug fix that also does the lineups in the ordered list. Yeah, that's all the same styling there and have it all in an ordered list. All right. Yeah.
So we have new APIs. We have two,
Yeah.
which are the block API, and they are block bindings API, add block bindings, PHP registration mechanisms, and post meta source and the experimental flag. Whew, say that fast. And the block bindings API refactor logic into block bindings class and singleton pattern. Oh, the term
Well,
singleton pattern.
that's a different pattern, I'm
I
telling you.
know.
And singleton, is there something like a simpleton? Yeah,
I don't know. I love this. I love the
I don't know.
term
No,
for
but sometimes
singleton
it's really
pattern.
hard.
To me, this just shows, like, refinement of it. I'm curious what you think as well.
Yeah. Well, the block bindings API is a really exciting API coming. And in 17.6, it was under the experimental flag, but 17.7, it was open up for public consumption. So it will come to WordPress 6.5. And that is that you can connect a block to a, for instance, post meta custom field. So you can have a paragraph that uses the custom field of weather. And every day when you do a entry, you say in the custom field, okay, the weather is rainy and windy and under 25 degrees. And then you have a place on the template where you can output that particular custom field with a block. So, and of course, right now the block bind is the first iteration in WordPress, but it's mostly for developers. Justin Padlock already published on the developer blog an introduction to the block bindings API to connect it to custom fields. And he has the example of having an image and an alt tag for the image stored in a custom field. I just published a rather almost no code example using the good old meta boxes to edit and edit custom fields because this iteration doesn't have a user interface yet to add or edit custom fields. So because that's a little bit tricky, not so much for the text fields, but when you go into select boxes, when you go into radio buttons or check boxes or these kind of things, you need some underlying developer registration there. So, but yeah, I'll share both articles in the show notes because it kind of helps you with the 6.5. What is it doing? And even if you are a developer, kind of, yeah, it's really interesting to see how you can, because it actually will take care of some of the little blocks that we used to create to just to get the content out of a post meta field. And that is kind of streamlining the whole thing. Yeah. So I think that was it for 17.6. I'm just scrolling fast through and I'm getting a little little motion sickness here going on. Yeah, I highlighted two more overrides thing, but it's just what we already talked about. Oh, and 17.6 also brings a great drag and drop feature. The drag and drop was actually a big push to make that easier to do, and now you can create rows and galleries with just dragging and dropping things. So if you have a picture on your canvas in the block editor, and then you drag another picture next to that image, it will create automatically a gallery. So
And I
that's
have
really
seen people try and do that with the editor.
cool.
So it's
Now they
really
can.
good to actually, but like it's a, like why would they not try and do that? Of
Yeah,
course. So,
right. Yeah. And that's certainly something for your editor tips, maybe when 6.5 is out. Yeah. For documentation, there is now a video demonstration for the quick starter guide. So the quick start guide for block development was revamped and has a nice example and walks us through all the steps, but it now also supports a video that it's like if somebody explains it to you and shows it to you, it's easier to grasp than just reading a wall of text, and that's kind of in there. So yeah, definitely look out for that. It was actually 17.6 where the block bindings experimental flag was removed so people could official. And well, that was it. That was Gutenberg 17.6.
Okay, we're on 17.7 now, I feel
Yeah,
like.
yes, we're
Wow,
going right
okay.
into it.
We are attacking everything.
Attacking everything,
So
yeah.
I'm gonna go through, there's some enhancements on there. So we have in data views, diving straight into, and of course in the show notes is going to be a kind of link to this as well in 17.7. I assume we're going to go through these quite lightly because it's just that they're
Lightly,
included in 16.5, but it's worth kind of remembering that we have delete bulk action to patterns, really useful, delete in bulk, and selection and bulk actions to grid view, again, super useful, and add primary filter API, forgot how to use words apparently. Again, it's all these adds and removes, it's that refinement, which I think is really important to say. And showing the sync status filter by default. Again, it's these little things you're like, well, they would be useful, the tips, right? So yeah. Over to you.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, but the database is really there was a major push. Yeah, for the block library, I'm just pointing out two things. Social icons now have the updated Patreon icon. So if your website uses that, you now get the new icon for that. And in 17.7, there was the block shadow support added to the columns and image block, which we talked about a bit. And 17.7 was actually the major push for the drag and drop, also to dragging from the inserter or from the desktop to template parts and allowing moving things within the template parts. And so that is really cool. Yeah.
Yeah, and we've got in the block editor, we've got add block UI for nav block link UI. Ooh. And implementing new UX invoking rich text link UI. Again, links are really like navigation thorny problem. Linking in navigation thorny problem, the interface. I worked on that for a while myself. I know how complicated linking really is to get right and feel okay. And then open a new tab from link, remove, open a new tab from link preview is also kind of there. So obviously like the feedback was that it kind of should be removed as well. So it's iterating and really improving those areas.
Definitely, yeah. What I really like on the link UI is actually the search from hosts on your site. Yeah, so if you publish a lot, yeah, you can really search for, oh, I want to link to the Block Bindings API article, yeah, and kind of it finds it for you, and you just have to link to it. What it does not find is yet anchor links on the same page. And that is still an open PR, but I think it's already worked on. So, but
That will be magic when that happens, because if you think of, well, very particular, like education or science documentation, it's just all handbooks. It's required. It's required
yeah,
information, right?
absolutely. Yeah. And then maybe we get also a revamp of the table of content blocks when that is in there.
Oh, that would be so good.
All right. So, there was a lot of things in the 17.7.
Yeah.
Oh man, man, man. Oh, that was for the extensibility. Yeah, that the navigation block can now be used. Third-party blocks can now be used in a navigation block as descendants of the navigation block. We talked about that already here.
I
Was I
see a
too
note that
quick?
you've put by the performance, which is really interesting, which is from Riyadh again, which I always love his performance posts. They're just the great ones. There's lots of performance improvements in a single release. There's 2 times faster editor loading time. I'm always being very careful how I say performance, and 4 times faster typing processing. Ooh, faster previews, interactions like block selection in WordPress 5.0. Wow. Because if you look
WordPress
at
6.5. Sorry.
well, 6.5, yeah, what did my brain just do? My brain just time traveled, everybody. Hello. Thank you for correcting
The
me.
performance things that we had here is kind of from Riyadh Benguela, and I think that triggered the 5.0 for you because it has been
Oh, I was like,
Gutenberg
I
great
think I was
from the
maybe
beginning.
going with, since then they've been performance posts. That's where I was going. My brain, whoa, good morning,
Yeah,
my brain.
but
It's
that
lunchtime. Can you
was
tell
okay.
it's lunchtime in Europe for us? But those performance posts have always been really good, because what initially when something was, it, when the editor was created, it was, is it performant? Well, by having some measures that we had did, it was really useful to literally know how performant it was compared to other things, because you always get the perception of things are more or less performant, but actually having stats is really important. So I always get very excited when I see Riyadh commenting on performance.
And he's working on it. Yeah, he had this wonderful website. Or yeah, it's I don't think I should mention it, but now I did,
Now
where
you've done
he
it.
also tests some of the other plugins when they work with a how they work with a block editor and kind of see how their performance is in improving or decreasing, so to speak. So yeah, he's a very, very keen into that particular section of development, and that's a good thing because the more features come in, the more load it might take. So yeah, there were quite a few efforts to bring some of the performance back to the block
And
editor.
every piece of UI that you add can add or take away, which is something I learned. It can take away as much as, like, with the performance. You sometimes think the most minimal interface is going to be the most performant, and it isn't always, which is a brain flip. But just having that baseline and that data has been really true to be able to know. So, yes, big shout out and call out on that one.
So I think we are
Oof.
through 17.7. There was a lot of fixing of things and a lot of
There
adding of things and
was
bug
big
fixing.
list.
And there's also a huge set of documentation updates there with copying and formatting edits and fixing list formatting and all that. So there's all this quality of life, a kind of that it doesn't interrupt your reading flow when these things are in there, but it's also a residue from the update of the developer resources design wise that happened in last month or in December. So some of the pages you definitely need to update to kind of follow the new design there.
Which is really good.
Yeah. I think that's it. Yeah. Excellent. Excellent. So, well, we are right into the show. And I think there we have one section that is what's in active development and discussed. And what a lot of people are missing in Gutenberg and the patterns and the templates are actually a section styling, that you have a section that is styled and that you can reuse that styling and apply it to other sections without having to go into fonts, go into color, go into border, go into dimension, go into padding to replicate some of the styling, but not for the whole page or site, but only for sections. And the contributors are really working on getting that into the editor. And I will share the links to that issue. That's a tracking issue where those discussion happen. And have you looked at that?
I have, and it reminds me back. Apparently my brain's like going back in the day of when early ThemeJSON conversations about what if you could just share a piece, or you could share that easily with someone and be like, hey, I've created this awesome style snippet kind of thing, and I just want to share it. So I love that we're doing this, but I also want a way that I can just be like, hey, I've got this awesome snippet that I want to share, and do that as well. So I think that that's also the piece I'm really curious about, just like I'm really curious about like the Museum of Block Art and all the patterns. I would love a really easy way to share styling as well. So I'm kind of like, I feel we're getting there, which is super exciting. But that kind of is good to me. And block styles, which is kind of like is-ish, or pattern styles, is also something that I would love to see. I'm really future thinking. Pattern variations is something that I've had quite a few discussions with people of a need for pattern variations, and be able to say, then this kind of falls into that, of being able to say like, this is the default pattern, but quite a lot of the time people are using the whole style variation when they don't need to, because they maybe just want to change a section. And so, yeah, this solves it. But the sharing and then having a pattern variations option kind of is for the future, maybe as well. Yeah, I think for me, users are thinking of patterns and how can they have variations just as much as they're thinking of blocks.
Yeah, it's kind of a block style variations is kind of one of the things where I say
people think in patterns, they don't think in blocks. If you shut your eyes, you don't see a site built of blocks, you see a site built of patterns.
Yeah.
So you're going to want pattern variations, not block variations.
Right. Yeah. Or layout variations. Yeah. If you have certain layouts that you're kind of, this is my three column layouts.
Yeah. Or template variations, you're going to want. Yeah. And again, people sometimes take patterns a little bit far and make the whole template a pattern. So yeah, there's a whole like best practices and conversations, right? But yeah, the sharing as well is super fun. Being able to say to someone like, hey, I've got this amazing style that I just want to share, and having a bank of them even for the community. I don't know.
Yeah, have a little site there. Yeah. I was wondering.
Shadows.
Well, some users are not really good at putting color combinations together. Yeah, so there
They're
was
not.
Also
and also accessible colors are kind of hard. There's some websites which are good, but being able to have like, hey, here's a really accessible pattern style using a pattern from the pattern directory that I've done a pattern variation. Now I'm sharing the style. That could be awesome for someone.
That would be
just
awesome.
Up and run, right? Yeah. Rather than having to be like fixed to that style. Yeah. So all of this is really exciting for the future.
And your opinion, dear listeners, counts. So go in and share what you think about things and how you think about things, because it will make things better.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I wanted to share with you, because there was the idea to maybe get this into 6.5, but there was no way that the discussions end in time to act on certain decisions. So, yeah, and with that, I think we're at the end of our changelog 96, and with Tammy Lister, who is phenomenal to have you on the show again.
Thank you.
Is there anything that you want to talk about that you didn't get a chance to talk about before we close it?
No, I got to talk about everything I wanted to. Thank you so much for having me again on the podcast.
All right. Well, it was absolutely my pleasure. And so before we end the show, there's a hallway hangout coming out February 27th. There's also a developer hours coming up with the layouts, how to build modern web layouts with WordPress blocks with Justin Tadlock and Ryan Welcher. And it's also on February 27th, an hour before the hallway hangout on the overlapping problems. So you get the good things that is now possible, and then you talk about some of the overlapping problems. So yeah, or you decide either one of them will be fine. And that's it, what I wanted to announce here. And as always, dear listener, the show notes will be published on gutenbergtimes.com/podcast. And this is episode 96. And if you have questions, suggestions, or news you want us to include, send them to changelog@gutenbergtimes.com. That's changelog@gutenbergtimes.com. Yes, that's an email address. So thank you all, and thank you for listening. And the next show will be after WordCamp Asia. WordCamp Asia is from 8th to the 9th, and the week following, we will have another podcast covering 17.8 and 17.9. And of course, the release candidate with all the dev notes that we all will have. So, thank you all for listening. Wish you all a good time and happy WordPressing. Goodbye. Bye,
Bye.
Tammy.